Thank you so much, Rabbi Markowitz, for those very kind words of introduction. It's wonderful to see all of you. I want to give a special mention to Rabbi Yudin and Rabbi Markowitz and my parents who are on the call and so many familiar faces. And it's my pleasure really to give a little bit back to the community and the shul that gave me so much, particularly in my younger years. And as Rabbi Markowitz mentioned, we've known each other for close to 20 years from our days in yeshiva and our days in the Yeshiva University Beis Medrash. And since then, and I'll tell you something, or I'll remind you something that you all know, you all already know, and that is that you are extremely lucky to have the Markowitzes as a team and their team leading you as the spiritual leaders in the shul and the community, Emir Tashem, for many healthy years to come. As Rabbi Markowitz pointed out, just before we begin Shir, we'd also like to thank our sponsor for this morning. But as Rabbi Markowitz pointed out, that there really is no better time to share Torah Eretz Yisrael, Torah from Eretz Yisrael, than the days preceding Chanukah. The Chanukah Torah Gems Shir, the Nes Gadol Hayapo, the reason why they are gems is because it connects to so much of our tradition. You'll see that each one, as soon as we share the screen and the source sheet, Chanukah really, there are a lot of connections that it has with Parshas Vayeshev, as we'll begin. There's Miketz in Chanukah, Shas Bavli, Talmud Bavli in Chanukah. We have so much to talk about in a short amount of time this morning, but it really is my pleasure to share Torah from 6,000 miles away in the place that Nes Gadol Hayapo, the place where the miracle happened. So let's begin. In the first subtopic, and each one of these themes and connections can really, thank you so much, Michael, for screen sharing the Makoros. So now you have the sources in front of you. In the first subtopic, and each one, again, as I point out, can be a shir in and of themselves, Vayeshev and Chanukah. This year is a very unique calendaric year for many reasons. And one of those is that it's Vayeshev and Chanukah that coincide. Normally it's Miketz, which is our next subtopic, our next gem. But Vayeshev and Chanukah this year coincide. Shabbos Chanukah is Parshas Vayeshev. So what is the connection? What is the unifying theme between Vayeshev and Chanukah? The Pasuk tells us, in the first of the sources, Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Parshas Vayeshev, Vayikachuhu, Vayashlichu Oso Habora, VeHabor Reik Ein Bo Mayim, that the brothers, Yosef's brothers, threw him into a pit for the Diba Ra'a, for the Lashon Hara, that he spoke about them, and they thought that he was deserving of death, of Misa, VeHabor Reik Ein Bo Mayim, the pit was empty, there was no water in it. The Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, which is part of the sugyos, part of the topics and discussions in the Mai Chanukah Gemaras, in the second Perek Masechah Shabbos, that we know, of course, from every Friday night, Perek Pamem Mavlikin, the Mishnayos that we recite during Kabbalah Shabbos. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Kahana Darash Rav Nasan Bar Min Yumi Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah Shehinicha Lamalo Me'esim Amma Psula, a Ner Chanukah, a candle of Chanukah that you place higher than 20 amos, is invalid. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Kisukah v'chemavoy, which we'll come back later, we'll come back to in a few minutes, later in a future connection. Sukkis. V'amar Rav Kahana. Again, Darash Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi, Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum, another statement. Maidich Siv, relating to the Pasuk that we just quoted. V'habor Reik Ein Bo Mayim. What does it mean when the Pasuk says that the pit was empty, there was no water in it? Mimashma Shanemar V'habor Reik Eini Yodea She'ein Bo Mayim? Question mark. Is that to infer, obviously, we infer from this, from the fact that it says that the pit was empty. Do I not know? Of course I know that there was no water in it. Elma Talmud Lomar Ein Bo Mayim. Mayim Ein Bo. There was no water in the pit. Avonachashim V'akravim Yesh Bo. But snakes and scorpions were in the pit. The pit was filled with snakes and scorpions. So what connection is there between the fact that the pit was filled with snakes and scorpions and the fact that the Ner Chanukah must be placed within 20 amos of the ground? If both statements were said by the same Amora, so that's something to take note of in the Gemara. So what connection is there between these two statements? So there are three answers. The first answer is that the Gemara, as it often does countless times throughout Shas, throughout Talmud Bavli, groups together two statements, or even four statements, or I know that Shomrei Torah for many years learned Maseches Megillah, or I think Rabbi Markowitz also, you know, currently teaches Maseches Megillah. So the Gemara on Davav, for example, quotes six statements of Rabbi Yitzchak, spilling over to Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara will do this countless times, quote a thread of statements that are unrelated but are attributed to the same Amora, so the same rabbinic sage. So that's what it does over here. It quotes the statements said, spoken by the same person. In fact, and here comes the first part of this gem, these are the only two statements which were attributed to Rav Nassim Bar Menyumi in the name of Rabbi Tamchum in the entire Shas Bavli. You will look through more than 2,000 pages of Shas Bavli, and you will not find other statements by this Amora. The second answer is that perhaps, as we noted a minute ago, because Parshas Vayeshev always falls either immediately preceding or during Chanukah, Rav Tanchum was delivering a drasha, like a Shabbos drasha, at that time of year, in which he combined these two ideas. Very nice. The third answer goes a little bit deeper. The third answer to what the connection is between the fact the pit was filled with snakes and scorpions and the fact that the Ner Chanukah must be placed within 20 amos of the ground points us to the next source, the third of the sources. Vayomer Alehem Reuven. Reuven tells the brothers, Al Tishvachu Dam, don't spill his blood. Hashlichu Oso, thank you. Hashlichu Oso, cast him, throw him, El Habor Hazeh, Asher Bamidbar, throw him into the pit in the desert. V'yod al tishlechuvo, don't touch him there. Laman hatzilo so miyadam lahashivo el aviv, with the intent of saving him and returning him to Yaakov Avinu. The truth is that it's not true that throwing Yosef in the pit would prevent bloodshed. Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, of blessed memory now, has one of his most fascinating essays in Covenant and Conversation called The Tragedy of Reuben, where he discusses this, and I'm happy offline or after this year or others who are familiar with the essay can discuss it, where he points out this is the only time in Chamisha Chumshei Torah where the Torah says something al derech hapshat, the simple understanding of a phrase, and it does not mean what it says when it says Vayishma Reuven Vayatzileo Miyadam. Reuven in fact did not save Yosef. And he explains why the Torah says that, and what that means, what implications that has. But it's not true that throwing Yosef in the pit would prevent bloodshed. There would not have been a difference whether he would be killed by snakes and scorpions or whether he would be killed by the sword. The juxtaposition of these two quotes teaches us that the pit was 20 amos deep. What significance does that have? What connection does that have? Just like we learn that one who lights his Neros Chanukah at that height has not fulfilled his mitzvah of publicizing the Chanukah miracle, what we know as, in Hebrew or in Aramaic, Pirsumei Nisa, Mishum, as the Gemara says, because the lo shalta ba'ena, because the eye cannot gaze that high. 20 amos, higher than 20 amos is too high. So too, excuse me, the brothers were unaware that there were snakes and scorpions at the bottom of the pit, 20 amos below. We find a proof, and here comes the third answer to complete the first gem of Vayeshev and Chanukah and their connection. We find a proof to the whole idea, because the Torah, to this entire idea, because the Torah describes Yosef as being thrown into the pit. Any damage could have, or any harm could have been done to Yosef by the brothers. But the brothers decide that the way to hurt him, if not, or to prevent him from dying, according to Reuven, is being thrown into the pit. And the Torah tells us, as you see in front of you, the source is, Hashlichu Oso El Habor. Tosfos, in Me'ilo, which you have in front of you, Daf Yud Aleph, in a completely different context, but points out, Tosfos, in Maseches Me'ilo, in Talmud Bavli, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Dibra Maschil Dishun, tells us that whenever Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, and Torah Shebaal Peh use the term hashlacha, throwing and casting someone or something, it automatically means throwing something or someone 20 amos deep. You see that last line? The ein hashlacha pachos me esrim ama. It's at least 20 amos deep. That's a beautiful connection, a gem between Vayeshev and Chanukah. Next, Miketz and Chanukah. Miketz and Chanukah, most often, Miketz is Shabbos Chanukah. It's often Rosh Chodesh Teves, that Shabbos also. Last year was the Yudin Bar Mitzvah, Morasha, and a Fairlawn Shomrei Torah connection here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Yitzi Yudin's beautiful Bar Mitzvah. But Miketz and Chanukah connection is found in Paro's dreams. We're told at the beginning of Parshas Miketz that in his first dream, you have one of the psukim in front of you, Vativlana Hashibalim Hadakos, Eshava Hashibalim Habirios. In his first dream, Paro saw seven bad-looking cows, seven gaunt cows, eating seven good-looking cows. In Paro's second dream, he sees seven good ears of grain getting swallowed up by seven thin ears of grain. Similarly, in the days of Matisyahu, and we daven and bench with this in Al Hanisim throughout Chanukah, in the days of Matisyahu, Ubanov, Matisyahu and his sons, right, the Chashmonaim and his sons, Bnei Yisrael, despite being the weaker nation, were able to overcome the much stronger nation. Masarto giborim biyad chalashim, v'rabim biyad me'atim, the many in the hands of the few, the mighty in the hands of the weak, and then the many in the hands of the few, utzmein biyad tahorim, and the impure in the hands of the pure. So the same idea of the weak taking on and defeating the many. But as with Vayeshev, it goes a step further. The gem in Miketz and Chanukah, that's a very nice connection, but the gem in Miketz and Chanukah is as follows. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, points out that at the end of Parshas Miketz, the Torah does what it does at every single Parsha, at the end of every single Parsha, whether you have the stone Chumash, the stone Artzro Chumash, that I'm sure many of you use on Shabbos, or, you know, you'll see this next Shabbos with Ayeshev, or in Miketz, at the end of every Parsha, whatever Chumash you use, in any edition, they list the Masoretic note, the number of Psukim in the Parsha, and then a word that equals that in Gematria. And the Gra points out that at the end of Parshas Miketz, the Mesorah, the Masoretic note, our tradition, which always gives the number of Psukim, strangely for Miketz, it's the only time that for Miketz, it also gives the number of words. And the number of words are 2025. 2025. What significance does that have? So, at the outset, 2025 is pointed out to teach that whether potifera is counted in Parshas Miketz as one word or two. But to take it a step further within this interpretation of the Gra of the Vilna Gaon, 2025, and more pertinent for our shir this morning, 2025 is a hint to Chanukah. How so? Because the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which we've already mentioned, are the My Chanukah Gemaras, the Chanukah Gemaras in Shas, where Chanukah appears in Talmud Bavli, tells us, excuse me, that we should light Ner Ish Ubeso for 8 days. The Gematria, I'm not personally so into Gematrias, but the ones that I'm into, or the ones that I'll accept, are the ones that are not just cutesy Gematrias, those are the ones that I don't like, but the ones that I like are the ones that are connected to our Mesorah, which is exactly what the Gra is doing here with the Masoretic note, our tradition. The Gematria of the word Ner is 250. If you multiply 250 by 8, signifying 8 days, symbolizing 8 days of Chanukah, you get 2,000. The remaining 25 is for the 25th day of Kislev. So that's how you get 2025, and that's the double gem and connection with Miketz and Chanukah. First, Paro's dreams, and then our interpretation and explanation from the Gra and the Vilna Gaon. Next, Shas Bavli and Chanukah. Shas Bavli and Chanukah, thank you, comes from the Kutzker Rebbe, the Rebbe Mikutsk, Rav Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, who lived in the late 1700s, 1787 to 1859, where this is something that's very close to my heart, because this is a gem that's very close to my heart, because every year I coordinate and join the Hakotel, Yeshivat Hakotel Poland trip, the Poland journey, the Holocaust journey, and we always go, with the exception of this year because of the circumstances, but we always go Motzei Simchas Torah. The day after Simchas Torah, we fly to Poland and we spend 1 week there. And every year we go to Kutsk and we briefly visit the gravesite of the Kutsk Rebbe, one of the great Rabbanim of his Hasidic dynasty and really through the tradition of Hasidus. And before going into the actual gravesite, when even the Kohanim, the boys who are Kohanim and the staff who are Kohanim, are able to join us, when they're still able to join us, so I share the following gem, which is the connection between Shas Bavli and Hanukkah that the Kutsk Rebbe has in his writings or sayings that was transmitted from the 1700s and 1800s all the way till today. The Kutsk Rebbe points out, "B'meshach imei Hanukkah sacha kol yesh shloshim v'sheish neiros sheyehudi yachol lahadlik keneged masechtos shenimtzayim b'talmud Bavli." If you count, and you will begin counting in your head, every single night of Hanukkah, beginning, God willing, Thursday night with the first night of Hanukkah, Haba Aleinu Latova, in good health, throughout the entire Hanukkah, you will light, every person who lights, will light a total of 36 candles. What is significant that is 36 in Judaism? There are 36 tractates, 36 masechtos in Shas Bavli. And the Kutsk Rebbe points out so beautifully that every single night of Hanukkah, obviously beyond the first night, there are multiple masechtos that they correspond to. But every single candle represents a different masechta in Shas. And the Kutsk Rebbe explains that every single light that you are kindling on Hanukkah, the first night one, the second night two, so the first night you are kindling Maseches Brachos. Maseches Brachos, when you light that candle Thursday night, after Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'yonu lazman hazeh, or according to many, after the Birchas HaMitzvah of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, so, and then you recite Haneros Halalu the first night you're just lighting the first night, but anyway, when you light Maseches Brachos, you are fixing all of the brachos that sped out of your mouth, or that you slurred at rapid speed, or that you said, whether it's Birchos Hanenin on foods, a Bori Minei Mizonos, or something as simple as a Shahakol Niyabidvaro, or a Birchas HaTorah, or for the men, we all get Aliyos at different points, or we will get Aliyos when this Magefa is over. I understand that in America, unlike here in Israel, where the Baal Kriya reads a regular laning, and there's just social distancing, or I don't like the term social distancing, the physical distancing, we're all supposed to still encourage to socialize, but I understand that in many shuls in America, so the Baal Kriya, the Baal Kore, gets all seven aliyahs, but whatever it is, it's for all of the brachos, the Birchos HaTorah, the Birchos HaNenin, all the brachos on foods, that we didn't recite with the proper kavana. And the second night, it's Maseches Shabbos, and Maseches Erevin, which are actually interrelated. All of the times that we inadvertently violated the Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos, and we weren't careful, hopefully not purposefully. And then the third night, we're thinking about Maseches Psachim and Rosh Hashanah and Yuma and Sukkah and all of the Yomim Tovim that we love and adore. And we're thinking about the times that maybe, and I'm going to make an extra point here, I know it doesn't really apply in Israel except for when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, but I know that America has been, I hate to use the dirty term of hit, with 3-day yontifs in the last couple of years. They come in bunches, like many other of our calendaric red-letter days do, that people feel like they're hit with 3-day Yomim Tovim. And we say, oh my God, woe is to me, I have to put on this face of celebrating and being happy at a 3-day yontif, but all I'm doing is cooking, all I'm doing is entertaining, and I can't do any malacha, and I can't get back to my regular routine. And it's frustrating. But if we only saw Yontif as a way to celebrate and to entertain, and a way really to appreciate our special tradition, that's what we're fixing. And it goes all the way through the 8 days of Hanukkah, as the Kutsk Rebbe points out, 36 for 36. And when you get to the end, perfect segue to our next gem of Galus Geula in Hanukkah, exile redemption in Hanukkah, when it gets to the end, that's Seder Kodshim. And that's the hope that we are fixing and preparing for the ultimate redemption, for being back in the Beis HaMikdash, which Hanukkah also represents, which is an added level to the Kutsk Rebbe's Torah, his Dvar Torah, his gem, the connection between Shas Bavli and Hanukkah, 36 for 36, and let's internalize that message. The next subtopic gem and connection is Exile, redemption, and Hanukkah. Galus, Geula, and Hanukkah. And this really centers around the central piyut that we sing many times as a jingle, Moz Tzur. Moz Tzur reminds me of the idea of singing Moz Tzur as a jingle, reminds me, and not paying attention to the words, as we'll try to gain a deeper, more sophisticated understanding to what we say in Moz Tzur, even if we understand the words and we've understood them for many years. Moz Tzur reminds me of the Pesach Seder. In fact, there was a study done, I think fairly recently, and I'm sure even many more years prior to that, of among all Jews, observant, and I know Rabbi Yudin's on the call, so not yet observant Jews, which holiday is most observed? Is it the Seder night, Leil HaSeder, or is it Hanukkah? And I think it was a close call. It could be that the Pesach Seder in a recent study won out, but it really doesn't matter. But the two are similar in the sense that there's a jingle, right? We can say and sing many of the songs, beloved songs in the Haggadah, and not think about a Dvar Torah, or even a sophisticated, adult-level Dvar Torah that we might have thought or understood a certain paragraph in Maggid a certain way as a child, and then when we're older, somebody says it at a Leil HaSeder, at the Seder night, or we see it in a Haggadah behind the Bible, right? We know that the Haggadah Shel Pesach is the most published book in our tradition. So we'll see it and we'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize for 20, 30, 40 years that that's what Avadim Hayinu meant, that that's what Dayenu meant. So singing Ilu Hotzianu Mimitzrayim or singing Avadim Hayinu is something that we should pay attention to. So the same thing with Moz Tzur. Moz Tzur, all of the paragraphs have a reference to exile, redemption, and of course, Hanukkah. Moz Tzur, the beginning references our rock, Moz Tzur Yeshua Si, Lechana El Shabach, and as a beginning paragraph, as an introductory paragraph, as that's the way it is seen, for Hanukkah, it really alludes to Hanukkah. Right? Visham Todan Izabeach. There we will sacrifice, we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a Karban Toda. In the second stanza, that's when the references to different Chagim and Yamin Tovim begin. Ros Savanafshi, that paragraph, we're not going to read it out loud in the interest of time, but you see it in front of you, references Avdus Mitzrayim, the slavery and subjugation to slavery in Egypt, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the exile, and Exodus from Egypt, and the drowning of all the Egyptians at Yamsuf. This clearly corresponds to the Yontif of Pesach. You see in the bold, Golus Mitzrayim, the exile of Egypt, and the redemption of Pesach. In the third stanza speaks of Devir Kadsho Heviani, speaks of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, but they worshipped Avodah Zarah. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and they are sent to Golus. And this corresponds to the Galus Bavel, the Babylonian exile, and the redemption, something that we are also alluding to and celebrating throughout the 8 days of Hanukkah, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'mheira B'yameinu, building of the Beis HaMikdash. In the next stanza, in the fourth stanza, there's a references the plan of Haman HaAgagi, Kiros Komas Barosh Bikesh Agagi Ben Amadasa, etc. You see the words in front of you. And the exile is Paras Umaday, as we open the Megillah with, Megillas Esther with, right? Sheva, Meir, Esther, Medina, 127 provinces, Persia and Medea. And the Geula, the redemption, is Purim. That's a reference to Purim. In the next, Yevanim Nikbatsu Alai, the exile is the Greek exile, Antiochus. I'll point out, and in the history of Hanukkah, in the untold, or largely unknown history, there were four different Antiochuses in our history. Antiochus the fourth is the Antiochus of the Hanukkah story. So Galus of Yavan, and the Geula of Hanukkah itself. And the last paragraph spells out Chazak, the acronym, Ches Zayin Kuf, Chasov Zeroa Kodshecha, the Karev Keitza Yeshua, is Edom, the exile of Edom, and the redemption of Sukkis. How so is it a redemption of Sukkos? So it makes reference to Hashem bringing back the Roim Shiva, the seven shepherds, which is why, just pronunciation-wise, it's really grammatically correct. It would be Roim Shiva and not Roeh Shiva, because we're referring to plural, seven shepherds. Just like in the paragraph about Pesach, it's Chayai Mareru Bekoshi. It's not Meiru Bekoshi. We know from Parsha Shmos, from Perak Aleph, I believe it's Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayimararu Eschayehem Bahoda Kasha, Mararu. But anyway, it references Hashem bringing back the seven shepherds, which is a reference to the Pasuk in Micha, which is not in front of you, but I'll say outside, the Pasuk in Micha in the fifth Perak, Perak He, Pasuk Dalid, that tells us that if Assyria, if Ashur, will invade our land and our palaces, Vahakimanu Olav Shiva Roim. But it also is an allusion to the seven shepherds, the Shiva Roim, mentioned in the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. And this is the gem of, and this is a perfect segue to Sukkos and Chanukah, our next theme. And that is the Gemara in Sukkah at the end of the Masecha, at the end of the Masechta Sukkah has 56 pages, 56 Daf Gemara, Blat Gemara. On Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, it tells us that the seven shepherds are Shais, Enosh, Mesushelach, Avram, Yaakov, leaves out Yitzchak, the question is why, it's explained, Moshe and David, and we know the Yushpizin, the seven guests on the seven nights of Sukkos, so this corresponds to Sukkos. Perfect segue to Sukkos and Chanukah. There are 10, and we will do them quickly, 10 parallels between Sukkos and Chanukah. This is the gem of Sukkos and Chanukah. Many parallels. The first is, and we'll try to do them as quickly as possible, the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis tells us in the Chanukah Gemaras in Shas that we've mentioned in different contexts earlier in this morning's shiur, gives an explanation for Beis Shammai's opinion that one should count down the candles throughout Chanukah, that it's just like the karbanos, the sacrifices of Sukkos, Chanukah and Sukkos, which we also count down from 13 to 7. In fact, it is the maftir of every single day on Sukkos, including Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where we're mentioning and listing the Karbanos Hayom, the sacrifices on literally Chag on Sukkos. The second connection between Sukkos and Chanukah is the Mishnah in Bikurim that you have in front of you, a little bit of Shas Mishnayos for those who have a daily Mishnah Yomi, Perak Aleph Mishnah Vav. This is the last Masechta in Seder Zrayim. So Me'atzeres Yad Achag Mevi VeKorei Min Achag V'Yad Chanukah Mevi VeEino Korei. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Maseira Omer Mevi VeKorei. That the latest time to bring Bikurim, the first fruits, is Chanukah, that are mentioned in Parshas Kisavo, of course, is Chanukah, and the latest time, according to the Tanakhama, to say the accompanying Psukim in Parshas Kisavo, Arami Oved Avi, is Sukkos. The third connection between Chanukah and Sukkos is that the Haftorah, I haven't heard this one in close to 15 years, but the Haftorah of the second day of Sukkos in Chutz La'aretz speaks about the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash paralleling the dedication of the Mizbeach, the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, the Chanukas HaMizbeach of Chanukah, the Shem Todah Nizabeach. It also makes sense because this is my personal practice. I know many in Yerushalayim, there are very few in Chutz La'aretz in America who have this practice. There are some, but in Yerushalayim, this is more popular than even people are aware, that there are people, including yours truly, who do not recite Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid within Nusach Ashkenaz. There's Nusach Agra, and we do not recite Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid daily at the beginning of Psukkot Izimra, because we hold that Psukkot Izimra begins with a Baruch and ends with a Baruch, Brachos Vodos Me'atav Yad Olam, Baruch Atah Hashem, etc., ending with Yishtabach. So Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid for us, myself, and my friends in Yerushalayim Yarkodesh, who are students of the Gra of the Vilna Gaon, or grand students, 10 generations, hold that Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid, which we'll come back to in a couple of minutes, is the Shir Shel Yom of Chanukah. So it also makes sense that we say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid throughout Chanukah after Shacharis as the Shir Shel Yom, as we do here in Yerushalayim. That's the other connection between Chanukah and Sukkot. The fourth connection, the Pasuk in Chagai you have in front of you, you only have the first Pasuk, but there are 20 or so other Pesukim in that Perek. In Perek days, Chagai received a prophecy on Hoshana Rabbah, on the 21st day of that Chodesh, which is Tishrei, which is Hoshana Rabbah. So he received a prophecy on Sukkot about what? About the exile of Greece, about Golus Yavan and Antiochus. The fifth connection, something we alluded to before, is the Gemara in Sukkah. The fifth parallel is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and the Gemara in Shabbos, Chav Beis Amud Aleph, 22a, tells us that both a Sukkah and a menorah must be no higher, no taller than 20 amos. The sixth connection is beyond our canon of Tanakh. This does not appear in Tanakh, but the Book of Maccabees that tells us the story, or really the miracle, of Chanukah. So in the second chapter of the Book of Maccabees, it comments that the 8 days of Chanukah parallel those of Sukkot. And Chanukah is called, believe it or not, Sukkot B'Kislev, the Yom Tov of Sukkot in the month of Kislev. And they took, and not just it was called that, but they took the objects of the mitzvah that are performed on Sukkot. They took a lulav and a rava. I don't think they mentioned the hadas and the esrog there, but the lulav and the aravos they took to celebrate the miracle that occurred. The seventh parallel is that the first ever dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, although it had started before Yom Kippur, it extended into Sukkot. It was throughout the Yontif of Sukkot. The eighth connection is that both Sukkot and Chanukah are Yom Tovim celebrated outdoors. Definitely in Eretz Yisrael we celebrate it outdoors, we light outdoors. In Chutz La'aretz many people try as much as they can, Pirsumei Nisa, not just Chabad, but other people also, depending on the weather. Hopefully it won't be too cold, but I hear that the forecast indicates and suggests otherwise. But we should try if we can. Both are celebrated outside. The ninth is that both in Shas Bavli have the concept particularly of Hidur Mitzvah, beautifying a mitzvah, particularly by the Esrog and by the Lulav. A dry Lulav is no good for the mitzvah of Sukkah, as well as a dry Esrog, Hadas and Arava. And Chanukah also has the idea of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. And the tenth parallel is that both have Hallel Shalem. A full Hallel is recited on all 8 days. The only 2 8-day Yomim Tovim that have a full Hallel recited. And finally, in front of you is the Ramazim, the hints of Chanukah. Some of them are cute acronyms and acrostics that we are familiar with, but others go a step deeper, right? The first is Chanukah is 8 Neros, Ches Neros, the Halacha ke Beis Hillel, and the Halacha follows Beis Hillel, that we are Mosif V'Holech. First night we light 1, etc. Second night 2, etc. That goes back to the Kutzker Rebbe and Shas Bavli and Chanukah. The second is Chashmo Na'im. So Chodesh, Shabbos, Mila, Bris Mila, Nida, menstrual impurity, and those halachos we have to keep. The halachos of Taras HaMishpacha, Ishus, marital relationships, and Yichud Hashem, seeing Hashem as one, Hashem's oneness. That spells out Chashmonai, all of the things that Antiochus IV outlawed. Michamocha Ba'ilim Hashem, we've known since we were children, that's Maccabi. Chanu Kafhei, they dedicated the Beis HaMikdash on the 25th day of Kislev. And the history of Chanukah, we do not have time for this now, this is a separate Dvar Torah, that in our Jewish history, there were 4 different Chanukahs. The first 2 were done with much grandeur, and the next 2 were done without it. And the lesson is Echad Hamar Bevi, Echad Hamamit, the last Gemara in Maseches Menachos, whether you have more materially or you have less, Uvilvad Sheyechavein Libo Hashamayim, as long as you concentrate and have in mind your intentions are on your Father in heaven and serving Him, then you are good to go. Mashiach really reference the previous discussion of Golus Geula and Chanukah and the Moos Tzur gem, the Chanukah gem there. Mashiach is Madlikin Shmona Simei Chanukah, a reference to Mashiach. Parshas Bereishis is the Parsha that really connects to Hanukkah the most. Not just because, as you see in front of you, the 25th day, 25th word in the Torah, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, is, right, the 25th word is Or. But why is this Lama Zez, you see in Hebrew, Kol Kach Chashuv? Why is this so important? So the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah tells us the second pasuk in the Torah, Vaharetz Hayasasov Vavo, it was empty and there was nothingness in the depth of it. V'choshech Al Pnei Sahom, V'ruach Elokim Racheves Al Pnei Amayim, and the heavenly spirit, the heavenly presence, hovered over the waters. Tohu Zumalchus Bavel. This is a reference to the kingdom of Bavel, again referencing the previous Ma'us Tzur, Golos, Geula, and Chanukah Gem, Vavohu, Zumalchus Madai, V'choshech, Zumalchus Yavan. All of these are references to the different kingdoms that tried to oppress us. Shehechshicha Eineim Shel Yisrael B'Gzeiroseihen, that tried to darken the eyes of the Jews with their decrees. Al Pnei Sahom, Zumalchus Arisha She'in Lacheker, that has no way of checking, Kimo Tahom, that is no way of searching and checking, like the depth. It just goes on and on like the depths. V'ruach Elohim racheves al pnei amayim, zo ruchel shel melach HaMashiach, again ending in Geula, ending in Yeshua. That's what the 8 days of Chanukah are all about. And that is why Bereishis is so significant, and it has its own Rashi tables. We'll do this quickly. Bimei Rishas Yevanim Tadliku Shmona Oros, in the days of the evil Greeks, we're supposed to light 8 Neros, that's Bereishis. Out of order, but it's still the letters Osios Bereishis, Yeshua Rabbah Tiyeh Bisman Shiim Loch Antiochus, there'll be a great salvation when Antiochus the Fourth will be the king, the under Antiochus is as well that preceded him. Yeshua Rabbah Tiyeh Shianatzchu B'nei Aaron, that the children of Aaron will emerge victorious. Antiochus Russia Yigzor Tichtavu B'Keren Shor, we're supposed to write on the horn of an axe that Ein Lanu Chelek Be'Elokei Yisrael, that we do not have a portion in the God of Israel, and Chanukah is to teach us that we do through the learning of Torah Shebaal Peh. And in Parshas Emor is known as the holiday, the Parshas HaMoados. Sections in the second half of the Parsha deal with the festivals, deal with the holidays. Well, we know that there's a reference to Shabbos and to Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim. But after this, immediately, miyad, acharei parshas HaMoados, are the psukim of the menorah, so that's a hint to Chanukah. After that, are psukim to the shulchan, and because of the mitzvos of mishloach manos and suda, which are interlinked, the two of them are linked with one another, the table symbolizes where we are putting food, where we are eating our sustenance. That's a reference to the shulchan, the table, the shulchan in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the Sefer Rokeach in Parshas Emor. Rav Elazar ben Yehuda Rokeach, who lived in the late 1100s in Germany, one of our German Rishonim, tells us that in Parshas Emor, so this we had, right, Shehi Remez L'Chanukah, good, so we pointed that out. And then Parshas Maaseh, we know that there were 42 Masaos, 42 travels and journeys of the Jewish people through the desert, and the 25th, believe it or not, is Chashmona, otherwise known as Chashmonayim. Vayisumi Miska Vayachanu de Chashmona, which is done with a special tune of the when the Baal Kriya lanes Parshas Maaseh. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid is a is Rosh Tevos Simcha, the added Simcha that we have on Chanukah, even though it's not one of the Yamim Tovim from the Torah, it's rabbinic in nature, but it is a day nonetheless where we have full Simcha and added food, added Tzudos, added Chanukah parties. Share all of these gems at your Chanukah parties, but Simcha, that added joy. And again, really, really to finish, Mila Shabbos and Chodesh, which are the three, the first three letters, the first letters of the three words, Mizmor, Shir Chanukas, are the three covenants of the Jewish people that Antiochus the Fourth tried to outlaw, that really bind the Jewish people with their Father in Heaven. It's really been a wonderful opportunity. Thank you so much to everyone for joining. So many familiar faces, such a treat to join together, and wishing everybody a happy Chanukah, a Chanukah Sameach, from all of us here in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to our sponsors. My pleasure. Good seeing everyone. Thank you. Be well. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Hanukkah. It's my pleasure. It's really my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sure, we'll do that. We are all separated by capsules, but as soon as I see him in the next available time period, I will be sure to, by that time it'll probably be Hanukkah, I will say hi. Oh, okay, I would love that. Thank you so much, Rabbi Yudin Shlita. Thank you so much. Really, thank you. Thank you. Okay. Everyone have a wonderful day and a wonderful Hanukkah. Thank you for joining. Thank you.